I know. This is a real hard subject, so we need to discuss. Okay. Yeah. Now, this kind of thing has come up many times, and His Holiness has commented on it because it's an important thing. So first he says it's really important to select our teachers well. You know, really take our time in selecting our teachers and before making that decision, this person is our teacher. Then second of all, he says that if a teacher does something that to you seems very unethical, you know, then, you know, I mean, you have to look at it. You have to say this doesn't correspond with Buddhist ethics. And then if you feel that, like, continuing to keep, you know, to always be in this person's presence is, like, really going to lead you in the wrong direction because somehow they're not setting such a good example because they seem to be acting in a way that doesn't seem to be according with the teachings, then His Holiness said, instead of criticize that person, just keep your distance. You know, in other words, and I think this is really good training for us, you know, because usually when people do things we don't approve of, we get very judgmental and critical. And so this is a call for us to look to not approve of somebody's behavior, but not get judgmental and critical. Rather, just keep our distance, you know. And His Holiness says, still try and keep your respect for that person for the kindness they have shown you and for how much they have helped you. And for the rest of it, just keep your distance. You don't need to criticize and renounce and gossip and get hostile and belligerent. Okay? And so I had one friend, and he had a teacher who he took initiations from and everything, and he really had a lot of regard for this teacher, and then it wound up that this teacher was an alcoholic, you know. And so my friend was like just completely, as he began to realize, he was just shocked because this just didn't fit into his idea of how a spiritual master should act, and he just seemed completely untogether. So it really put him into a lot of crisis for a while, and then we talked about it, and we talked about being able to separate, you know, well, this person was kind to him, and that he did introduce him to the Dharma, and if he hadn't met this person, he would have been doing who knows what right now. You know, it was through the kindness of this person that at least he met the Dharma. So for that kindness will never go away. He can always have respect and regard for that kindness that he did receive. Then, the part of his teacher that became an alcoholic, that he just puts in the back burner, and he doesn't need to, you know, be always in that teacher's presence and like that, you know, because that doesn't seem so beneficial to him. And so he just keeps his distance, yet without a feeling of hostility and contempt. You're saying rather than just either ignore the person or get hostile, maybe to actually confront them and speak to them about it. That's very possible. The key there is first you have to make sure your own mind isn't angry. But His Holiness has said, you know, because this topic came up, you know, in Newport Beach when he was there, that if a teacher is acting improperly, that the students can go to the teacher and with respect say, we don't understand what you're doing. Yeah, please explain this to us. This is not helping our mind. And that going to the teacher with respect and confronting them about it is very different than getting angry and belligerent and gossiping and yelling and screaming. Okay? So I think that, you know, it's definitely possible, and especially in the West, I think we do need to do this because especially Asian teachers, they really aren't aware of our cultural boundaries. And sometimes we just get all, oh, well, this is Vajrayana and this is their Buddha. And so we just kind of completely abnegate all of our own cultural boundaries and our own sense of ethics. You know, and that's not really wise. Yeah, I mean, I think we need to communicate with the teachers and let them know what our boundaries are. you know, that this is acceptable and this just somehow doesn't fit. But to do that still with respect for them, okay, not with a harmful, critical mind.
Into our cultural ways, and then dance for.
You mean like when maybe that teacher meets up with students who don't have many ethical boundaries,
exactly.
And so give that teacher the feeling that they can do whatever they want because it's not counterculture. Well,
come on to that teacher.
Oh yeah, well if somebody's coming on like that, that's that person's problem. But it's also the teacher's responsibility to keep their own ethical vows. Yeah? I mean, it's a two-way thing. Yeah? And in all this thing, especially when they talk of the sexual abuse in different religious groups, or power abuse, okay? There's two things there. There's the behavior of both people, you know, there's two things. So it's the teacher's responsibility to keep their ethics, and it's the student's responsibility to keep theirs.
It's
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it's not a thing of breaking a specific precept, but then you have to see, is that really conducive for a student-teacher relationship or not?
I agree. That's what I meant. It's the innocence
of
the teacher.
But I don't think that's necessarily innocent, because in Asia they don't go around sleeping with their students, because I think they're quite aware that it's not necessarily beneficial for the student to do that. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the teacher's meeting up with a bunch of people who don't have a lot of ethical values, but then still the teacher has to evaluate for themselves, is this for the benefit of that student? Even if it's acceptable within that culture, is it still beneficial for that person to do that? Yeah.
So no harm is sufficient.
Yeah, I think so. Because when you're the teacher of somebody, I mean, you're really responsible for that person's spiritual growth. So everything you do in relationship to that person should be for their benefit, not for your own. Yeah, as soon as you're in that relationship. Yeah, when you're not the teacher, then it's a completely different thing. Okay, but when you're relating on a teacher-student benefit, you have obligations to that person as their teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something was out of whack. Yeah. Now, we can't say, you know, like every time a teacher is doing that teacher is wrong, you know, because different teachers are at different levels, and some may be Buddhists, some may be Bodhisattvas, they may be doing things that completely beyond our concept. But we can say, if a teacher is acting that way, if it's not our own personal teacher, you know, we can, like when you're looking around at many teachers, you know, if that's not your teacher and they're doing something out of sight, you know, with maybe their disciple, you say, well, I don't know what level of mind that person has. They might be a Buddha, they might be a Bodhisattva, but I know for me, this is not the example, the external example of a teacher that I need to follow. I need to follow a teacher who acts externally like da-da-da-da-da. So in that way, you see, you're not criticizing that person and blaming them, because who knows, maybe they are a Buddha. But you are saying, I need a teacher that acts a different way. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. That isn't an example of, you know, I need a teacher that show, you know, because my own mind's so berserky, I need a teacher who acts in a certain way. And if I followed a teacher like that, that external behavior doesn't set a good example for me. You know? Then maybe it does for somebody else. Maybe for somebody else, you know, the fact that that teacher's so relaxed kind of opens that person up to listening to them and opens them up to the Dharma somehow. Who knows? People have different karma. But we can say for us, that behavior just doesn't fit.